But let's bring in Jay Jaffe, national baseball writer for SI.com. Jay, before we take a wider look at your list of teams that are buyers and sellers, and we'll talk a little bit as well about Scooter Gennett and his night last night. Devin Travis's injury for the Blue Jays, what type of an impact do you think that will have on this team's status as buyer or seller?
Well, I think it remains to be seen here because, you know, right now the Blue Jays, they're a few games below 500, but they've been playing very good ball since digging themselves out of that 2-11 hole for the most part. They're, I think, 26-20 since then. You know, their lineup is closer to whole now with getting Josh Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki back. You know, so I would say in general, the trend arrow is pointing in the right direction. They have the team that they want for the most part on the field, obviously now minus Devin Travis. If things continue like this, I mean, right now they are six games back in the AL East, which isn't where they want to be, but they're only 3.5 back in the wild card. It would be if those margins hold come mid-July, I can see them being much more motivated to buy rather than to sell to try to get one more run out of this current core without sacrificing too much. So, you know, I think that it's a bit early to bury them and to say that this is going to be a team that's split up for parts.
As you look at this team, you know, and I'm thinking in particular of the players who were eligible for free agency, the players the Jays won't get any. Wouldn't get compensation for. You know, I look at Marco Estrada, and I look at Francisco Liriano as probably being the two guys you could quote unquote get something for if you were to move them. But I'm not certain. What do you think the value is right now of in particular? We'll start with the Francisco Liriano. You know, a power lefty. Yeah, he's had difficulty obviously with his command. Same issues he's had for much of his career. What do you see as being, you know, his marketability at the deadline?
Well, I think it's comparable to what it was last August when they got him. I mean, you know, Liriano wasn't blowing anybody away in Pittsburgh when he had a similar ERA to what he has now, 5.46 then, 5.94 now. You know, he was part of a 2-for-2 deal that brought back a couple of minor leaguers. Neither of them. Pedigreed prospects, but you know, I think that's the kind of deal you're looking at here. He can get something of use to the organization, but not necessarily something that's going to be a blue chip prospect. That said, I do take that back. Harold Ramirez did make the Baseball America and Baseball Prospectus prospect lists. So, you know, it's possible he could be useful. That said, you know, one more year of inconsistency and struggle, I don't think that improves his marketability any. In that other deal, the Blue Jays did also give up a controllable player in Drew Hutchison. So, you know, it's not a lot here. You're talking about getting something for somebody who's not really helping this current team, though, that could appear palatable.
A conversation with Jay Jaffe of SI.com. And Marco Estrada is another guy. Again, if this team falls out, a pitcher with a bit of a postseason pedigree now, at least as far as the Blue Jays are concerned, probably their de facto ace. I mean, his recent results haven't been that great, but probably their de facto ace. Is he the type of guy that a team might take a look at because of the fact he's had so much success recently in the postseason? Like, does that feature into anything or does that factor into anything?
I mean, it's probably, I think given the choice between two players of more or less equivalent value otherwise, yes, I would say, you know, the fact that he's done it in the postseason might tip the balance in his favor. I think he's very well positioned to be somebody who brings back a solid return at the deadline if that's the way they go. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was an all-star last year who's now in three straight solid years in the rotation. Given the scarcity of starting pitching, frontline starting pitching, I think he could be a very valuable piece of the deadline if they have to sell.
Is there a team that you're keeping an eye on in the next, well, let's say, what are we? We're in June 7th. In the next month or so, a team that you're particularly interested in seeing where they are as we get closer to the deadline? You know, a team that may go either way.
Well, right now, I mean, I would put the Blue Jays in that camp because they have so many sellable parts. I would also put the Mets who have a lot of players who could be among the best at their positions if they have to sell. I'm thinking of Neil Walker, second base, Addison Reed as a setup man or closer, Jay Bruce, Lucas Duda, even Curtis Granderson and Jose Reyes if their play improves. That's a team that's going to have a huge impact on the market if and when they sell. Also the Royals, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain are all pending free agents, and Ian Kennedy has an opt-out. So there's another team that I think is going to have a major impact on the overall inventory available come July 31st. So those two and the Blue Jays, I would say, are the three that I'm most interested in because they have so many pieces.
I know it's early right now, but one of the things that kind of fascinates me about this offseason is going to be how the weight of next year's free agent class, not this free agent class, but the free agent class afterwards, the big free agent class that everybody's talking about, what type of an impact that might have on the offseason for teams. You know, and I think in some ways that might factor into a team like the Blue Jays, whether they decide to hang on to a Marco Estrada or try to re-sign him or whatever. Do you have any idea what type of offseason we might see this year? Will teams, do you think, try to keep their powder dry, or will there be some teams... You know, some teams that realistically think that they're not going to be in it for Machado, they're not going to be in it for Harper, they're not going to be in it for Kershaw, might as well take advantage of this year's free agent class and try to, you know, try to make some hay this season as opposed to next season.
Well, you know, I don't see a lot of guys who are going to get, you know, as with last winter, I don't see a lot of guys who are going to get $100 million contracts this winter. You know, so I do think...
And that would be regardless of what the next year's free agent class is, correct?
Yeah, so, and you know, it's those type of contracts that are going to have, you know, or that are going to be the ones that have an impact on pursuing Harper, Machado, Kershaw. If the Dodgers even let him think about going completely free here, as opposed to renegotiating with him before he hits free agency. You know, I think that, you know, you're talking about major contracts, and you know, if they were staggered, I think, you know, you sign Manny Machado, you're probably not going to sign Bryce Harper given what they're going to cost. But other than that, I don't see really there being huge impediments upcoming in this market that are going to have a major impact on who is a player for those even more enticing guys. You're not going to go out and give Andrew McCutchen $125 million and prevent yourself from signing Bryce Harper or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a little item for Sports Illustrated on Scooter Gennett's performance last night, four home runs. And as you say, I don't know if there's been a more, does anybody ever expect four home runs? I don't know if there's ever been a more unexpected candidate to hit home runs. They hit four home runs. I guess that'd be the way to put it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Jeanette came into the game with just 38 home runs in parts of five major league seasons. That's the lowest total of any of the 17 guys with four home runs since the first one, Bobby Lowe, for the Boston Beaners back in 1894. So you have to go back a long way to find a guy who was at the stage of his career where he was a less assuming power hitter than Jeanette. I think that's remarkable. This is a guy who had three home runs on the year. You know, a 5'10 utility man with a nickname of Scooter doesn't really make you think of somebody who's going to be swinging for the fences in the first place. But, you know, we're at a point when home runs are at an all-time high per game, 1.23 coming into yesterday, and a very homer-conducive ballpark in Great American. So the conditions were generally right, but still an impressive performance. When you factor in the fifth hit that he got, the single, and the 10 RBIs that he had, including a grand slam, it comes out to be one of the most impressive single-game performances that we've ever seen, and I broke that down at SI.com.